Thanks for taking the time to listen to this weekly sermon from Southside Baptist Church in Florence, South Carolina. Our vision is to know God and make Him known. We now offer two services on Sunday mornings. Our classic service begins at 8:30 a.m. and our modern service is at 10:45. Please visit our website at southsidenow.church to find out more about how we are making disciples in the Florence area. For now, sit back and take in this week's message from God's Word.
All right, well, amen. Let's give applause for our Lord Jesus Christ here this morning. We're going to start in Ecclesiastes chapter 10, verse 2. Ecclesiastes 10, verse 2. And if you didn't pick up one of our sermon notes, we have plenty of those on the information center for you. And so if you missed that. But anyway, Ecclesiastes chapter 10, it says, "A wise person chooses the right road, a fool takes the wrong one." Let's pray. Father, as we start off this new series, this new year, which you've given us, God, there are certain responsibilities you've given us as your people. And what I pray that we in our lives will make wise decisions, that we will make wise choices. There are certain things you've called us to choose, to do. And Lord, I pray that as we look at this morning about how we've been giving a gift, we've been given a gift of free will from you, that we choose wisely in our life. We love you and praise you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You know, in life, there's times in which you're going to have regrets. God gives us the ability to choose, to make certain choices in our life, and we can make some wise, great choices. And maybe looking back to 2021, you go, "Man, I'm glad I chose to do this or that." You may look back on 2021 and go, "You know what, man? I have some regrets about some of the choices in which I made." A recent study a couple years ago asked 270 Americans to describe a significant life regret. And the most common regrets involve this. About 20% of them had regrets concerning when it came to romance. Some when it came to family decisions was 17%. 14% had regrets concerning their education, 13% their career, 10% their finances, 9% when it came to the way they made choices concerning their children and parenting. And if we're all truthful, we all have regrets in which we made in 2021. Some may say to themselves, "I wish I had the courage to live a life that's true to who I am, not the life others expect of me. I wish I had the courage to express my feelings. I wish I had stayed in touch with some of my friends. I wish I would let myself be happier." Maybe that sounds like some of us. But God has given us something, and we're going to, in this series, go deeper even into this. But He's given us free will. Now, some will ask and wonder, you know, where's that line between God's sovereignty, in other words, He's completely in control, and man's free will? And we're going to go deeper into that in this series, but not today, but I at least want to mention it to kind of get us started here this morning. But if free will means that God gives humans the opportunity to make choices that generally affect their destiny, then yes, human beings do have free will. The world's current sinful state is directly linked to choices made by Adam and Eve. God created mankind in His image, and that included the ability to choose. However, free will doesn't mean that we can just do anything in which we please, because we are limited in what we can do. For example, if I want to get the other side of a bridge, I can just only walk in my own power. I can't go, "You know what? I'm going to fly over the bridge to the other side." I can't do it. I don't have the free will to do that. It's not in my nature. I'm unable to do it. And so nature prevents us from doing certain things. We need help. Now, can I fly over with a helicopter? Yes. Can I fly over an airplane? Yes. Can I save myself from my sin? No. I need someone else to help me. And that's Jesus Christ. And he offers grace and mercy and forgiveness. And even if we've made choices in our free will, which we regret, I'm thankful that we have a Savior who loves us, who cares for us, and forgives us. And so this limitation in which we have, it doesn't mitigate our accountability. The Bible is clear that we only have the ability to choose. So we also have the responsibility to choose wisely. In the Old Testament, God chose a nation, which was Israel. He chose them. But individuals within that nation still bore the obligation to choose obedience to God, just as you do as well. And individuals outside of Israel were able to choose to believe and follow God as well, such as Ruth and Rahab. In the New Testament, sinners are commanded over and over to repent and believe. Every call to repent is a call to choose. Say it again. Every call to repent is a call to choose. The command to believe assumes that the hearer can choose to obey that command. Jesus identified the problem of some unbelievers when he told them, "You refuse to come to me to have life," in John 5. So clearly they could not have come if they could have come if they wanted to. Their problem was that they chose not to. Just as Scripture makes it clear, like we've heard it before, what goes around comes around. Well, that comes from the Bible. You reap what you sow, that comes from that Bible, from the Bible. What goes around comes around, I should say, the idea of that is in the Bible. And those who are outside of salvation are without excuse. Do you know that? Well, why is that? Because God has given enough light to show them. I don't have it up here on the screen or in your notes, but I want to show you. Romans chapter 1 and verse 20. We see that nobody is without an excuse when it comes to their eternal destination. Now, one might ask, what about people who are, you know, like in the jungle and they've never heard the name of Jesus? What about them? They are without excuse according to Scripture. Now, think about this. If people who had never heard the name of Jesus automatically get into heaven because of their ignorance, right? Then sending a missionary to them to give them a choice is kind of cruel. Because then you're taking away their ignorance, and now they have to choose either to follow God or follow Jesus or reject Jesus. Whereas before, if they were just ignorant, boom, they get into heaven automatically. This is what Scripture teaches on that. Notice in Romans 1, verse 20. It says, "For ever since the world was created, people have seen the earth and the sky. Through everything God made, they can clearly see the invisible qualities, his external power and divine nature, so they have no excuse for not knowing God. Yes, they knew God, but they wouldn't worship him as God or even give him thanks, and they began to think up foolish ideas of what God was like. As a result, their minds became dark and confused." And that's what we do as humans. We will choose to worship something in our lives. We will choose to worship ourselves. We may worship some idol we make. We may choose to, whether it's a car or a job, maybe even, you know, a person. We will choose to worship something. And God has given enough evidence and the light through his creation to draw people to himself, to go investigate and to find out more. That's why we send missionaries. That's why, as a Southern Baptist church, we support missions. Because people need to hear about Jesus. And if there's a time, man, if there was a time in which, because of technology, kind of the double-edged sword, with technology, man, the gospel can spread faster and quicker than ever. I had a friend growing up. He was a missionary to Papua New Guinea. And he said, Lucas, this is what he told me. Lucas, and this was in the early 2000s. He said, hey, I could take you to a place where they wear fig leaves for clothes. Yeah. And he said, you know what the crazy thing is? When they saw me, they asked me about Y2K. He was like, think about that. Why were they concerned about Y2K? But they never heard the name of Jesus. Interesting. Things that just boggle your mind at times. Now, one might be asking, well, what about Ephesians 1 that we were chosen before? We're going to talk about that, not today. But we are going to talk more about free will. We're all going to talk more about God's sovereignty. And we will talk more about Ephesians 1 here in this series. All right? But today, I want us to focus on this. There in 2022, there's five choices. Five choices every Christian needs to make. You need to make it. And I believe that you can with His help. Here's the very first thing, is choose a healthy lifestyle. Choose a healthy lifestyle. All right, preacher, I know you're not a doctor. Tell me to lose some weight and eat right. Yes, I'm not a doctor. But it's important that we're reminded that as Christians, this body which we have is God's temple. He wants to use it for His glory. And I want God to get out all the use out of my body for my life to glorify Him. And if I limit myself by the choices, unhealthy choices in which I make, then that's not pleasing and honoring to God. And I want to try my best to honor Him in that way. I tell you, around Christmas time, I usually gain like 10 pounds. Right, preacher, you look kind of heavier this morning. It's because I am, okay? All right, I gained, I think, like 10 pounds over the week because I've ate nothing but junk food for a solid week and a half, okay, maybe 2 weeks. And my wife gets baking, and she ends up making all those good things. And I tell you, if my wife just continued to bake all year round, I'd tell you, I'd be twice the preacher in 2022. I can promise you that. So I feel how some of you are feeling maybe this morning. But choose a healthy lifestyle. There's a couple of things I want to point out. And I realize that we all are built different. And sometimes we have health issues that, you know, mess with our weight. But there's some things I want to point out, okay? And they're biblical. They really are. And in Proverbs chapter 23. Proverbs chapter 23, it says, it warns us. Do not join those who drink too much wine and gorge themselves on meat. For drunkenness and gluttons become poor, and drowsiness clothes them in rags. This is not talking about, well, you know, man, our Christmas dinner, I ate way too much, and I just, you know, I must be a glutton then. Not necessarily. It's saying this is something that is habitual, that happens all the time. And we would easily point out someone who drinks too much, of like, oh man, they have a problem. They need some help. They need to make some changes. And we would point that out, right? But notice here in Proverbs, it puts them together. It says, hey, when you're a glutton, and I don't mean like you just got a spare tire a little bit. I'm talking like, you are to the point where your body is limiting your choices in your life because you've become a glutton and you've put on way too much weight and you're unable to live a lifestyle that honors God. Just as it would be with alcohol. And He's given us a warning here. We tell someone, you know what, don't hang out with those who drink too much. But here's like, don't hang out with people who drink too much and just stuff themselves and are a glutton. Ooh. gets uncomfortable real quick, doesn't it? Because as Americans, we like to sometimes ignore certain parts of the Bible. But the Bible is very clear, even on this issue. It says in Proverbs 23, it says, put a knife to your throat if you are given to gluttony. Ooh. Now, that's a hyperbole, okay? Don't actually go and put a knife to your throat. The Bible does speak in sarcasm at times. You know that, right? And at times it gives some hyperbole. And here's what it's saying. Hey, as a Christ follower, as a follower of God, you need to have discipline in your life, even when it comes to your dinner plate. Maybe you need to start counting calories. I'm not a big diet person. But maybe you need to count calories. There's the wealth of information. Maybe it's time to start taking walks after you eat dinner. Maybe it's for you to time to get back in the gym and start working out. One, you'll feel better. Are you anxious? Do you have a lot of stress? Working out and those walks and those runs, man, they help take out and deal with some of those hormonal issues that are causing you to stress out. Make a decision. You can do it. You just simply make a choice. This is what I'm going to do. This is not an option. This is not something I'm going to do for a month. I'm going to do this, and it's going to become a part of my life. That's what you have to decide. To put that discipline in your life. You see, we cannot let our appetites control us. See, if we let our appetites control us, we're going to be controlled by other things in our life as well. The ability to say no to anything in excess. And the Bible is very clear about moderation. When it comes to excess, though, is that we need to have self-control. In fact, self-control is one of the fruits of the Spirit of God. And as you become more like Jesus and you start following Jesus and you realize God wants to make you for you to make some different choices in your life. One of those choices is going to be self-control. Because then the Holy Spirit, the fruit of the Holy Spirit, isn't just, well, I'll grow this fruit in my life and I'll grow this fruit in my life. No, that's not how He works. He grows all of them. And it starts to come up and out in our life. And God really has blessed us by filling the earth with foods that are delicious, nutritious, and pleasurable. And we should honor God's creation by enjoying these foods, eating the appropriate amount of quantities. And God, He calls us to control our appetites. You know, the Bible also says this when it comes to our appetites. Don't eat too much sugar. Now, it puts it a little bit different way, but in Proverbs 25, it says, do you like honey? Which, of course, for them would have been kind of like their sugar. They would have put it on everything. They would have had a lot of it. Don't eat too much or it will make you sick. We know it's true to be with sugar. And let me tell you, man, sugar is addicting. It really is, isn't it? Try to go without sugar for a day. Especially after Christmas, you're going to be mean. You're going to be like, you know, the kids are really going to aggravate you. Your spouse is going to aggravate you. Give me some sugar. You know, you're ready. You're ready. Chocolate, whatever. And I get it. We need sugar. But what I'm saying is you need to focus on limiting the amount you have come in even. So do you like honey? Yes. Do you like sugar? Yes. Limit it. Don't eat too much of it. Don't eat too much of it. Then exercise. You know the Bible even speaks on exercise? Notice what it says in 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy 4:8 says, for physical training is of some value, but godliness has value for all things, holding promise to both the present life and the life to come. Now, In some translations, like King James Version, New King James, it says, for physical training profits little, which is true. And compared to eternity, godliness triumphs. But we get this short time, this short life in which God gives us, man, have some physical training. Can I tell you something? I can be a little ornery at times, okay? Some of you may know that, but my wife doesn't kill me for saying this. She probably is going to. I will anyway. So, if I get any complaints about, I'm going to say this. Let's say if I get a complaint, my response, I'm going to go into what the complaint is. My response is, you know what helps with that? Bar squats. You know where you have the bar and you're doing, and it's just something that I kind of say to annoy my wife. That's what I say, okay? And anyone else get some enjoyment out of annoying annoying their spouse every once in a while? Not all the time. No one's going to raise their hand. That's wise. You just let me take the brunt of it this morning. Yes, yes. Let's move on to the next point. I don't like that one. But what else can we do to make wise choices? Choices in which God wants us to make this year. Next one is choose kindness. Choose kindness. Listen, maybe you're new to church or you're watching this morning. I'll tell you this. Church people are some of the most kind people you will ever run into. They're some of the most generous people you will ever run into. Christian people who love Jesus are some of the kindest people you will ever run into. And there are some people who call themselves Christians, listen, who are some of the meanest people I've ever run into in church. Why? Because I don't think they really are a believer. They think they are, but they're really not. If they were, they would be following Jesus. They would show kindness. We all can have a bad day. I get it. We all can cut someone off in traffic. If I've ever cut you off in traffic, it wasn't intentional. I promise. I hope. I never have to some of you. I know I did at least one person. And they said, Preacher, did you know you cut me off in traffic? I'm like, oh, my nightmare's coming true right now. Like, I know I'm really sorry. I didn't know it was you. And it doesn't really matter whether it was you or not. I shouldn't have cut you off in traffic, but nonetheless, right? But we choose kindness. We've heard of the golden rule. And the golden rule really is based off Matthew 7. The word golden rule itself is not in the Bible, but the principle is. It says, so in everything, do to others what you would have them do unto you. For this sums up the law and the prophets. Think about what Jesus is saying here. He says, in everything, and this is very similar to what Jesus gave as when he gave the greatest commandment, and he said, to love your neighbor like unto yourself, and that the law and the prophets hang on this. What was he saying? It's almost like a Christmas tree. Think of a Christmas tree, and on the ornament, you have all the different ornaments that are on the Christmas tree. And what Jesus is basically saying, he's saying the Christmas tree itself, love, kindness, of showing that to other people. Everything, he wasn't minimizing the law. He wasn't minimizing what the prophet said. He just said, man, all of that, like ornaments, hang on love and kindness in what we do. And we are called as believers to show kindness and love. And Jesus gave this, I guess you could say, golden rule to give us a standard by which naturally selfish people can gauge their actions, actively treat others the way they themselves would like to be treated. And I tell you, there's a time in which we've gotten away from this in our society, it is now. The world needs to see from believers the golden rule. There's even unbelievers who go by the golden rule because they live in America or they've been around Christian teaching and they know it and they go, you know, that's a good idea. But in a world in which is so focused on itself, in a world that is very, very, very selfish and cutthroat, and needs to see believers once again focus on Christ, the golden rule, and showing kindness and love to other people. Do you want to be shown respect? Then respect others. You want to be shown kindness? Then show kindness to other people. The golden rule is also a part of the second greatest commandment, to love God Himself. What is interesting note about the golden rule is that no other religions or philosophical system has its equal. So wait a second, I know that, you know, in other religions it teaches that, you know, something similar, surely, but I'll name a couple things off to you here. Some of it is similar, but it's not the same. For example, Hinduism, this is what they teach in Hinduism, is right out of their writings. This is a sum of duty. Do not do to others what would cause pain if done to you. We wouldn't disagree with that, right? So he's saying, hey, don't do something to someone else if it's going to cause them pain, because you don't want pain either. Okay. Buddhism says, hurt not others in ways that you yourself would find hurtful. Notice that with both of these, it's not really about doing good and showing kindness. These sayings are similar to the golden rule, but they are stated negatively and rely on passivity. Jesus' golden rule is a positive command to show love proactively. The Eastern religions say, refrain from doing. Jesus says, do. That's what I want you to do. Even if you're treated unfairly, even if you're treated with unkindness, you need to be kind. So in everything, do to others what you have them do to you. For this sums up the law and the prophets. We are called to love. We are called to show kindness. And the golden rule, it encapsulates this idea and is unique to the Judean Christian scriptures. Even says in 1 John says, it's in fact, Christians cannot claim to love God if they don't actively love other people as well. In 1 John 4 says, if someone says, I love God and hates his brother, he is a liar. For the one who does not love his brother whom he has seen cannot love God whom he has not seen. Think about that. We should be reminded of that in life, and especially in church. There may be some people that we don't get along with as much, or maybe we don't necessarily like them, but you're called to love them. You're called to love them, not hate them. And if one person on this side or on this side goes, you know, so-and-so, I hate them, I can't stand being around them, I want nothing to do with them, my friend, this scripture applies to you. Because what is it saying? It's saying you really don't love God because you're not willing to love other people. Here's the third thing you should do as a believer in 2022. Choose self-discipline in your spiritual life. Discipline is often a touchy subject we read or think about. As kids, we hopefully were faced with it growing up as our parents did the best to train us to be proactive or productive adults. As adults, we tend to want to avoid to face discipline in our lives, either from our boss at work or a spiritual leader at church or even from God, because it means that we'll have to face a bad choice or a series of choices in which we've made. And there's actually something we can do in each of our lives to lessen the discipline that comes from others. Is called self-discipline. Self-discipline. Self-discipline is a proactive measure we can take in our lives that will limit the reactive nature of being disciplined from outside people or sources. Self-discipline causes us to make the right choices in our life that lead to positive results. And so we must, as believers, as followers of Christ, it would be wise to choose self-discipline in your life, but in your spiritual life. That's what 1 Corinthians says. As Paul is summing up and finishing up writing to the church in Corinth, he says, "So my dearly brothers and sisters, be strong and immovable." Immovable in what? He's talking about, man, there are certain things you should not change when it comes to the Scriptures and our belief in the Scriptures, when it comes to our belief in Jesus, to our belief in our morals and values in which God has shown us what those are. It says, "Always work enthusiastically for the Lord. For you know that nothing you do for the Lord is ever useless." Maybe you feel useless right now. Maybe there are certain things physically you're unable to do that you once were able to do, but there's something you can do. There's something you can do. And maybe you're just going through the motions in your life. Maybe you're even going through motions in the church. What should you do? Make a choice. I'm going to have self-discipline. I realize there's times in life that are not fun. There's times in life in which we all can go through the motions. But I'm going to make a choice to worship God. You see, when you decide that I'm going to worship the Lord, I'm going to do it for Him first and foremost, you're going to have a love for other people and a love for the things of God. It's easy to get discouraged at times. It says, always work enthusiastically for the Lord. Man, I get to go to church. I get to worship Jesus. I get to serve. Don't lose the wonder of the fact that God has saved us and all that He's done for us and all that's going to truly last in life are the things that we do for Jesus Christ. You see, when we're focused on I'm doing this for Jesus, and people let us down, and people will let you down. Why? Because they're people. They're not perfect, and guess what? Neither are you. But when you do what you do because of your love for the Lord, and that, God, I just want to please You. I want to do Your will above all. God, I want to obey You. And in 2022, I pray and I hope that your love for the Lord is kind of like this. That, God, I want to make sure I'm pleasing You in every way. I'm worried about what God thinks way before what anyone else thinks. I'm not saying don't care what other people think. I know sometimes we say that, I don't care what people think. Yeah, you do. To a certain extent. Maybe there's some people you don't care what they think. I get it. But first and foremost, you should care what God thinks and follow Him. And if Scripture clearly says it, and God, because I care what You think, God, and what You think of me and what I do, I'm going to follow You. Then if there's other people who don't like that, don't worry about what they think. Don't worry about what they think. Because God, my aim is I want to please You. And I know that anything and everything I do for You, Lord, it's not useless. It's not forgotten. Because God knows all and He sees all. This is what self-discipline does. And this is why we need it. If we were to ask, and we're raising hands, and I'm not going to, man, I want God's favor. I want His blessing on my life in 2020. We all want that. How can we have that? Part of that is self-discipline. See, self-discipline prepares us. It prepares us. Luke 16 tells us this. Luke 16 says, if you are faithful in the little things, you will be faithful in the large ones. But if you are dishonest in the little things, you won't be honest with the greater responsibilities. Maybe right now, you feel like, God, I know there's more in what you have for me. God, I know there's more in what you want me to do. What should I do? What does he give? What responsibilities has he given you? Be faithful in the little things. And be faithful in the large ones. Be faithful in the little things he's given you, even if no one sees it. Just as Scripture says, that those who are humble, he will lift up. He will show. And he will praise. But if you're dishonest in the little things, my friend Christian, don't expect God to go, man, here's more blessings. It's like taking your child. Your child maybe is, you know, kind of ran his mouth a little bit. Kind of maybe back-talked mom or dad. You ask them to clean your room. They say, no, not going to do it. And maybe they're just misbehaving all the time. With that kid, some basic parenting 101, you don't go, you know what I think this kid needs? He needs more toys. You know what this kid needs? He just needs more grace and just, you know, he's just expressing himself. He doesn't need excuses. He doesn't. You don't reward a misbehaving, rebellious child. You love on them. And sometimes that love comes at the end of a paddle. Oh, preacher, you shouldn't speak that way. But you know the Bible says, if you don't discipline your kids, you don't love your kids. It's biblical. I realize not everything when it comes to discipline involves a paddle. I get that. But we need self-discipline. Because self-discipline prepares us for the blessings of God. And maybe there are certain blessings you haven't experienced simply because you have no self-discipline. And God knows how badly and how much worse you would screw up your life if he gave you more than what you have right now because you just simply can't handle it. But you can. Self-discipline prepares us. Prepares us. Self-discipline increases our focus and productivity. Proverbs says, lazy people want much but get little. But those who work hard will prosper. It's a biblical principle. Then maybe you feel in 2022, you look around and you go, man, there's people getting this or getting that. And they don't do anything. And they're lazy and they're being... The biblical principle is still true. Lazy people want much but get little. But those who work hard will prosper. And I'm thankful that I had parents that instilled this in me as a child, as a teenager. You work hard, you'll be blessed. You work hard doesn't mean everything's going to be easy, but God will reward it. You work hard, you will prosper. And that is still true today. I know we may be tempted to look around. Listen, if you're young in here, you're a teenager, whatever age you are, and there's probably things you look around, you're like, man, I would like this, or I would like that, for God to bless me with this, that, or the other. And it's okay to want certain things in life. It's okay to have some ambition. But listen, if you think you're going to get it by just sitting around and doing nothing, you're in the lazy people category. Because lazy people want much but get little. If you want it, you need to get up and you need to work hard. It's said that a lot of success in life is 1% inspiration and 99% perspiration. And that is true. And if you are just waiting around to be inspired, you're going to be very, very disappointed. Sometimes with young preachers, and it comes to sermon prep, you know, they only want to preach when they feel inspired. They get something. And there's some weeks I feel inspired. I'm like, man, God gave me this. And sometimes, you know what it's like preparing a sermon at times? It's like digging in the dirt to find gold. That's what it's like sometimes. Sometimes it's like trying to chisel a word into a stone. It takes time. There's other times where it just flows like a river and you're ready to go, man. It's the same way in your life, whatever you do. You have to work. You have to sweat a little bit. You got to get a little dirty sometimes. Sometimes it's a little bit even uncomfortable. But self-discipline increases our focus and productivity. You see, when you exercise self-discipline in your life, your mind is freed up to focus on what you need to focus on instead of all the things that you feel like you should be doing. And sometimes a sign of spiritual maturity and maturity in life is going, you know what? I would like to do that, but right now is not the right time to do that. Timing's important. You see, and also in life, negative thoughts can attack us every day. When we lack self-discipline in our lives and neglect to do the things which we need to be doing, those negative thoughts, man, they attack hard. Those thoughts can make us feel ashamed of ourselves, and we walk around with shame and self-hatred. It consumes our focus and steals our productivity. And on the contrary, when we feel good about ourselves and the majority of choices we are making, since, you know, not all the choices we make are good, we have more confidence in ourselves and in God working through us. And when we put our hands to things, that they prosper. The bottom line is that a self-disciplined life brings us closer to God, puts us in a better position to hear from Him. It causes us to make better choices, to walk the path God has given us. And if we take time to listen to His voice. In 2022, let me ask you this. When's the last time you read through the Bible? Maybe you've never read through the Bible. Why not make that choice in your life? So you know what? I'm going to take time to pray every day. I'm going to take time to be in the Word of God every day. The Word of God will change you in a positive sense. There's nothing else more than reading the Word of God that will change you that you could ever find anything else in life. Am I saying there's not positive other things that will help you and change you? There is. But the number one thing that will change you, that will build your inner soul and just build you up and give you confidence and confidence in the Lord, is reading the Word of God. Self-discipline increases our focus and productivity. There are no shortcuts. There's no shortcuts. Shortcuts will bite you in the rear every single time. They will. Here's number four. The fourth thing you should do here, and choice you should make in 2020, is choose to be more like Jesus. You have a choice to make. See, God's desire for all who know Him is for them to become more like Jesus. He won't make you become more like Jesus. It's a choice in which you have. We do this by first growing in our knowledge of Christ. It stands to reason that we cannot grow to be like someone we don't know. That's why you need to be in the Word. How can you know what it's like to be like Jesus or what you need to do if you're not reading the instructions? The deeper our knowledge of Christ, the deeper of our understanding of Him, the more like Him we become. Among other reasons, we are to know and understand Christ so that we will be secure in our faith. Ephesians tells us this. Ephesians says, then we will no longer be immature like children. And we won't be tossed around and blown about by every wind of new teaching. We will not be influenced when people try to trick us with lies so clever they sound like the truth. And man, I tell you, this describes today. The junk that we get on social media, we don't know if it's true or if it's false, or even a preacher on TV that's preaching. And tell me, there are some junk preachers on TV. I'm not saying there's not some good ones, but there are some junk ones. How will you know if they're not junk? Man, the Word. you want to show someone if they have a crooked stick, just lay down a straight one. Instead, we will speak the truth in love, growing in every way more and more like Christ, who is the head of the body, the church. He makes the whole body fit perfectly together perfectly, as each part does its own special work. It helps the other parts grow so that the whole body is healthy and growing and full of love. This is talking about the church. And God has given you, certain special abilities that are gifts from the Holy Spirit that are to benefit the body of Christ. I love how it says in verse 15, we will speak the truth in love. That's what we must do. If we don't speak the truth in love, Christian, it's just going to come across as being harsh and mean. If we speak only love, but yet we forget the truth, that leads to heresy. And we have a lot of heresy overall in churches today, in some churches. Because you'll hear just love. And while I agree we need to love, it doesn't mean we forget the truth. Because forgetting the truth and just loving leads to heresy every single time. So we choose to be more like Jesus. And this is the result of what happens when we choose to follow Jesus. When we choose to follow Him. Like, God, I'm going to focus on Your Word and what You've given me. I want to be more like Jesus. And it's a work that He does in us. And we have the ability, according to Scripture, to think like Christ thinks. It's something that He does in us. We've been given the Holy Spirit to help us do this. And we need help. I need help. I need the Holy Spirit's help. And this is the result. We choose obedience before sacrifice. Just as Jesus did. He chose to obey His Father before He gave Himself up. We choose faith even in the midst of fear. We choose worship even when we worry. We choose to trust God even when we're clouded by doubt. We trust Him. We choose love instead of hate. It's said that truth is stronger than falsehood. Good is stronger than evil. Love is stronger than hatred. And life is stronger than death. And I still believe that. In a world where there's a lot of hatred. In a world where there's a lot of just a lot of junk that's going along out there. And a lot of evil that's going on. I know that good outweighs evil. And I know that God is in control. Because of that, here's the last thing that I believe as a Christian we need to do in 2022. The fifth choice every Christian should make is choose to share Jesus with others. In our personal evangelism, it is good to remember that we are only responsible to God for our obedience, not the results of that obedience. We may present the gospel thoroughly and lovingly to somebody, and the person we share it with may not be interested at that time. And in fact, Jesus even spoke on this, and I'm not going to turn to it, but it's in your notes. In Luke chapter 8, Jesus gave an illustration to those around Him that the human heart, in which the gospel lands on, and when they're told, it lands on different types of soil. It compares the human heart to soil. And sometimes, man, that soil of the heart is ready to receive. Man, it's ready to receive the word. It's ready to grow in the word. And there are some people who hear it and they go, I'm just not ready. Their heart is kind of hard like a rock. They're just not ready for it. But yet, that seed can be planted. That heart that is hard as a rock can be softened. We can't always help the result or make anyone get saved. That's something the Holy Spirit does. But you never know what the Holy Spirit is doing in someone's life. And God places us in strategic positions for influence, not privilege. We have neighbors, co-workers, friends, relatives who need to hear the good news about Jesus. And whether we're called to lead a crusade or simply cultivate a relationship with an unsafe person around us, personal evangelism is a responsibility. Listen to this. It's a responsibility of every single Christian. Here's my challenge to you. It's a challenge from Scripture. It's not one I just made up and said, you know what, this would be a good challenge. It's a challenge from Scripture. Who will you share the good news of the gospel with this year in 2022? Maybe you don't know yet. But maybe there's people right now who pop in your mind. That you know what? I've been putting off sharing the gospel with them. And I know I need to. If you call yourself a Christian, that's part of your response. Christian duty is to share the gospel. People don't learn it through osmosis. They learn it because someone else loved them enough and cared for them enough to share the gospel. Just by simply asking a friend, a neighbor, coworker, whoever, hey, do you know what the gospel is? You'd be surprised how many people, they don't know the gospel. The things in which we take for granted for knowing, they don't know it. When they say no, you simply can say, hey, okay if I explain it to you just for a moment? And explain it to them. Maybe you don't know the gospel. Maybe you don't realize all that Jesus has done for you. The gospel is about the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. That Jesus was born of a virgin. He was born perfect. He's the only person ever to live a perfect, sinless life because he was 100% God, 100% man. He went and he willingly went to the cross and died for my sin, for your sin, taking my place, my punishment on the cross. For anyone who will humble themselves and bend the knee and ask Christ to forgive them of their sins, to be their Lord and Savior, he will save, he will make new, he will take you from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. And he will change you. And you may feel like, man, I just don't feel good enough for God. You're not. Here's the secret. No one is. No one is. No one is. But yet, because God is love, he's offered grace and mercy through Jesus Christ. And if you will humble yourself and pray and ask him to save you, he will. He will. You can do that today. People need the Lord. As Jesus said, as long as it is day, we must do the work of him who has sent me. Night is coming when no one can work. And there's coming a day. There's coming a day when someone closes their eyes for the last time. There is no more second chances. There's coming a day when Jesus will return. There will be no more chances. So why not make that decision today, the first Sunday in 2022? Maybe you're watching. Maybe you're watching and that's you. We're going to pray together. As we close our eyes and we're in an attitude of prayer and the music's playing, maybe that's you. Say, Pastor, I want to give my life to Jesus. I want to become a Christian. This is what you need to do. It's a simple prayer. A simple prayer, prayer in faith will do the job. Pray, dear God, I admit that I'm a sinner. who deserves hell. Jesus, I'm asking you to forgive me of all my sins I've ever committed. Jesus, I'm asking you to be my Lord and Savior. From this day forward, Jesus, I'm going to follow you. If you prayed that for the first time, will you raise your hand high in the air and say, Pastor Lucas, I'm giving my life to Jesus Christ this first Sunday in 2022. Maybe you're watching or listening outside. If you prayed and asked Christ and you made that wise decision, that choice, will you let us know? Message us, email us. We'd love to rejoice with you. So Pastor Lucas, I know there's some different choices I need to make in 2022. Pray for me that I make wise choices that will honor God in 2022. Will you raise your hand, show it to God? I'm raising my hand. We all need to make wise choices. God, I want to make wise choices in 2022 that honor Scripture, that honor you. Amen. Father, we love you. We praise you. Help us, Lord, to depend upon your Holy Spirit, that we will be filled with your Spirit, that we'll make wise decisions that honor you, that we will share our faith, that we'll share Jesus with other people before it's eternally too late. We love you. We praise you. And everyone said, amen. God bless you. Thank you for being here this morning.